If you walk into bookstores or gift shops, you will see figurines of angels. You'll see pictures that depict angels. You'll see books about angels. Angels fascinate us, especially this time of year. Many people are very interested in angels. Like, what are they? Are they eternal? What kind of powers do they have? Do each of us have a personal guardian angel? The questions go on and on about angels. Some questions we can answer, but some we cannot. We won't focus on speculation. There's been plenty of that. But rather, we're going to look at what the Bible actually reveals about angels. The word that's often translated in the Old Testament in Hebrew and the New Testament in Greek basically means messenger. In its most basic definition, it simply means messenger. Now, sometimes that word that's translated angel means a human messenger. But most of the time, it's referring to a heavenly being. So it does refer to humans occasionally, but typically, heavenly beings. There's lots of terms the Bible uses for angels, both in the Old Testament and the New. Remember in Job, it talks about the sons of God appearing before God in heaven, a reference to angels. Toward the end of the New Testament, Jude talks about angels and calls them dignities, or some translations have glorious ones. Colossians calls them thrones, dominions, principalities, and powers. Sometimes they're called the heavenly host. Some types of angels have special depictions. We read in Isaiah has a great picture of the throne room of God in Isaiah chapter 6. And there we are told about the seraphim, which fly around the throne and call God holy, holy, holy. Very similar to what they do in the book of Revelation. Cherubim. If you remember in Genesis chapter 3, God placed two cherubim outside the entrance to the Garden of Eden so that Adam and Eve could not come back in. And there's lots of other names the Bible has for angels, these heavenly servants, these heavenly messengers. Well, where did they come from? Well, we need to do some thinking about this. The Bible says that everything was created by God. Everything. You go back to John chapter 1, verse 3. Everything was created by God. Well, angels would be included. Angels were created by God. In Nehemiah chapter 9, I hope you have your Bibles. You can turn with me there. Nehemiah chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 6. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says about angels. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, "You alone are the Lord. You have made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their host, the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you." There we're told that God made the heavens and He made the heavenly host. So God created angels. All angels were created by God. They are not then eternal. But when were they created then? Well, the Bible is silent about when angels were created. It seems they were created before man was created on day 6, though. The reason for that is found in Job chapter 38. If you'll turn that, Job 38, and we're going to begin reading in verse 4. I want us to notice what is said there. Job 38, beginning in verse 4. This is God talking to Job. You know, this is the part of the book where Job has asked God questions about a variety of things. Well, God comes back and says in verse 4, talking to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened, or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy." There's another occasion where sons of God refer to angels. See, this was during the creation week. "All the sons of God shouted for joy." God is saying to Job, "Where were you, Job, when this happened?" Well, Job wasn't in existence. But the angels were. So angels appear to have been created before Adam and Eve on day 6. So the angels, they are created beings. They're created beings. They were created by God Himself. And they have a variety of names, but primarily it means messenger. What's their nature? They have great mobility. They have far more mobility than people do. In other words, they're able to move more than us. In Daniel chapter 9, we read about this. Daniel chapter 9, and notice what it says beginning in verse 21. Daniel chapter 9, beginning in verse 21. This is Daniel talking. It says, "Yes, while I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, reached me about the time of the evening offering. And he informed me and talked with me and said, 'O Daniel, I have now come forth to you, skill to give you skill to understand. At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved. Therefore, consider the matter and understand the vision.'" What was the angel Gabriel able to do? He was able to fly swiftly. He was able to fly swiftly. Angels have more mobility, it seems, than men. They also have more knowledge than men do. Go back one chapter to Daniel chapter 8. And we'll read verse 13. Daniel 8:13. "Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one," again referring to angels, "said to that certain one who was speaking, 'How long will the vision be concerning the daily sacrifices and the transgression of desolation, the giving of both the sanctuary and the host to be trampled underfoot?' And he said to me, 'For 2,300 days, and the sanctuary shall be cleansed.'" There the angel has more knowledge than men did. And so the angel gave that knowledge then to Daniel. But they're not all-knowing. Angels are not all-knowing like God. Angels do not know when Christ is going to return. In Matthew chapter 24, we read in verse 36... In talking about when Christ was going to return, it says in verse 36, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only." So the angels don't even know when Christ is going to return. So while they may know more than men, they do not know everything. And especially they don't know when the return of Christ is going to happen. The Bible says they're more powerful than men. In other words, they have more physical power than men do. In 2 Peter chapter 2, we read this in verse 11. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. He says in verse 11, "Whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord." So some men had done that, but here Peter says angels who have greater power and might than men do would not even bring an accusation So angels have greater power and more might, more strength than men do. So they have greater mobility, they have greater knowledge, they have greater power. But the Bible says they are spirit beings. They do not have flesh and blood. In Job chapter 4, we read this in verses 18 and 19. Job chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. It says in verse 18, if he, God, puts no trust in his servants, if he charges his angels with error, how much more are those who dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, who are crushed before a moth? Talking about people. We are housed in clay. Our foundation is dust. Not the angels, he says. We are made of clay. We're made of dust. Angels are not. There's a big difference then between angels and men. Angels appear to not have gender. We find in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, Jesus speaks there in verse 30, for in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God in heaven. So angels don't get married. All right? They're not given in marriage, which would suggest, we don't know for sure, that they are not male or female. Nor do they die. Angels do not go through a dying process. In Luke chapter 20, verse 36, we read this about angels. It says, nor can they die anymore, for they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. In talking about people who are worthy to attain a certain age and the resurrection from the dead, they do not die anymore. Angels don't die. They don't go through that dying process. Why? Well, they're not flesh and blood. Why do we go through a dying process? Because we're flesh and blood. And our bodies are decaying. They're slowing down. And so we go through a dying process. Angels, the Bible says, do not. One way in which the angels are like us, they have the ability to choose. They have free will. In other words, they can choose to obey God or not obey God. We find this in Jude, verse 6. We read about what some of the angels decided to do. In Jude, verse 6, it says, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day. They're angels. They had a choice. They did not choose wisely. So angels have choices. They are not like robots. They're not programmed. They can choose to follow God, obey God, stay with God, or leave God. And the Bible says that they can even appear to people in different ways. In Hebrews 13, verse 2, some have entertained angels unawares. Some have entertained God's messengers unawares. The nature of angels. But maybe most importantly, what is their work? What do angels do? What do angels do? The Bible says one of the things they do in heaven. In Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5, verse 11, it says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." One of the things the angels do is they praise God around the throne. How many angels are there? Well, according to that verse, they are innumerable. There are so many you can't number them. Kind of like the stars of heaven. 10,000 times 10,000, thousands of thousands, meaning that you cannot number them. That's how many there are. A great multitude. An innumerable host of angels. The Bible says, well, another thing they do is they rejoice when a sinner repents. In Luke chapter 15, verse 10, I think this is one of my favorite verses about angels. Luke 15, verse 10, it says this. Luke 15, verse 10. It says, "Likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The angels express joy. They're happy, they're glad when a sinner repents. That's something angels do in heaven. One of their main jobs, according to the Bible, it seems they execute God's will. In other words, one of their main functions is to do what God tells them to do. To carry out His will. In Psalms 103, the psalmist tells us this beginning in verse 20. Psalms 103, verse 20. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels, who excel in strength, who do His word, heeding the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you His host, you ministers of His, who do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Notice what it says angels do. They heed the voice of His word. They are ministers of His. They do His pleasure. In other words, they carry out what He desires. They carry out His will. That's what angels do. They execute His will. And just think about all the things the Bible says that angels have done in executing His will. They've been involved in the affairs of nations. You look at the entire book of Daniel, and you see how angels have been involved in nations, various nations, and what those nations did. Angels have been involved in that. Again, that whole book of Daniel talks about the role of angels in the affairs of men. They've also been involved in the affairs of individuals. Remember the story, of course, of Abraham and Isaac. And the role of angels there in sparing Isaac's life. Angels have been involved in so many ways throughout history. They've been involved in carrying messages to people. Remember, that primary word is messenger. They've carried messages to people. The Bible says they transmitted the law to Moses on Sinai. In Acts chapter 7, verse 53, we have these words about what angels did. Acts chapter 7, verse 23 says, Acts 7, verse 53, says, "Who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it." Received the law by the direction of angels. The law of Moses was transmitted by angels. So angels had a role in bringing the law of Moses to Moses. That was one of the things they did. Of course, angels carried out judgments from God throughout Old Testament times. We've seen angels carry out God's judgment against people and against nations. So they execute God's will. They carry out God's will. They were involved in Christ's life in many ways. Remember, they announced His birth. We read there in the Gospel according to Luke. Luke's account of the Gospel. How angels announced His birth. The birth of Christ. They announced it to the shepherds standing in the field that this baby, Jesus, Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, was born. They were with Him after His temptations. Remember when we go to the book of Matthew, we read about the temptations of Jesus in the wilderness and all the things that happened to Him. What does it say happens after those temptations were over? Angels came and ministered unto Him. Angels came to Him. Angels rolled away the stone in front of Jesus' tomb. Remember, there's this huge stone in front of Jesus' tomb. And what does the Bible say? An angel rolled it away. Angels announced His return. Remember in Acts chapter 1, Jesus ascends into heaven. And what do the angels say? In the same manner that you saw Him go into heaven, He's going to return from heaven. And those are just a few of the things that the Bible says that angels dealt with in Jesus' life. And the last thing the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, which is what we read this morning in our Bible class, this verse right here, which has had many people wondering. Verse 14 says, "Are they not all ministering spirits," talking about angels, "sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation?" Angels serve God's people. Now, the Bible is relatively silent about how that happens, but it is a fact because the Bible says it happens. It doesn't say we have our own personal guardian angel that keeps us from falling down and stubbing our toe. It does say that angels in general are sent to minister, not to everybody, just to God's people. That's all it says. It's just to God's people. In Luke 18, we learn that God uses angels to help His disciples. In Luke chapter 18, verse 10, Luke chapter 18, verse 10, I obviously wrote down the wrong verse. That's not even close to the one I thought. But anyway, the Father does use angels to help His disciples. And again, we don't know too many of the ways where He does that, other than we have to trust the Bible that says He does. He uses angels to help His people. We know that one of the things angels will do, we read about the rich man and Lazarus. Who took Lazarus to Abraham's bosom? An angel. An angel. So there's going to be an angel there for the faithful to take us to Abraham's bosom when we pass from this world. Then we'll get to see an angel up close and personal and know much more about angels. That's the good side. But in closing, there's kind of a bad side to angels as well. The Bible says that when Jesus returns, He's going to bring angels with Him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Going to be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire. These are angels that are going to take vengeance. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the faithful can look forward to an angel taking them into Abraham's bosom. But when Jesus comes back, He's going to bring fiery angels, vengeful angels, on those who do not know God, on those who have not obeyed the gospel. Angels have many roles, but they execute God's will. They do what God wants them to do. They carry out His plan, His purpose in this world. And He still has a plan for this world. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 that He's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So He's waiting. The angels don't know when that time is going to be, And neither do we. That's why the Bible says we need to be ready. We need to be ready. We need to obey the gospel. We need to continue to be faithful. We need to continue to confess our wrongs and ask for forgiveness. Might be today, might be tomorrow, might be 1,000 years from now. We're just like the angels. We have no idea when He's going to come back. Nor do we know when we're going to pass from this world. Again, it may be today, maybe tomorrow. The idea is to always be prepared. So the question is, are you prepared? If not, today's the day to get prepared. By obeying the gospel, by being born again, by having your sins washed away in baptism, or by asking for forgiveness. Asking God to forgive you of your sins. If there's a need in your heart this morning, we want you to come as we stand and sing this song.